Well, again, what a joy it is to come and be with you this morning. We will be continuing on in this Methodist 101 series. Now, wait a minute. I'm looking at a lot of Methodists out here. Have you guys learned some things in this series? Have you been excited to be refreshed by what we believe as Methodists and realizing that there's not a ton of uniqueness, but that we are a people of the extreme center tied together by the right and the left or the whatever is going on. But this is what United Methodists have been, open things, and that we're grace theologians. Today we're going to be talking about sanctifying grace. But before I get into that, I thought to myself, the scripture will be 1 John 4, 7 through 21, that when we talk about the grace of God and sanctifying grace, and we talk about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, oftentimes I hear people talk about God is here, Jesus is here, and the Holy Spirit is here, instead of the Trinity that we believe in. So just so you know, that from the year 300 on, there was a gentleman named Athenaeus, who you all know the Nicene Creed. We've talked about that, or you've said that before. This is where it came from, that it was determined in that creed that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one. They're one being. In other words, they are the substance of God. And it's okay that we sometimes talk about God and then Jesus and the Holy Spirit, but we're not talking about three different gods. We're talking about one God. So they're the substance of God. And in those three is one God. It's important to remember as we think about sanctification and we think about where things are going, because in reality, and Athenaeus said this, you know, Christ, Jesus, who forgives our sins, who came fully human and fully God and died upon that cross, when he forgives our sins, right? It's nothing less than the miracle of creation, because we know that we're reborn. So as Athenaeus said, how could it be anything other than God? So those are important things to remember as we look at our Methodist theology, as we look at what it means to be a Methodist. So I'm going to read from John 1, 4, 7 through 21. Dear friends, let's love each other, because love is from God. And everyone who loves is born from God and knows God. The person who doesn't love does not know God, because God is love. This is how the love of God is revealed to us. God has sent his only Son into the world so that we can live through him. This is love. It is not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the sacrifice that deals with our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us this way, we also ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God. If we love each other, God remains in us and his love is made perfect in us. This is how we know we remain in him and he remains in us, because he has given us a measure of his Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. If any of us confess that Jesus is God's Son, God remains in us and we remain in God. We have known and have believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And those who remain in love remain in God, and God remains in them. This is how love has been perfected in us, so that we can have confidence on the day of judgment, or on the judgment day, because we are exactly the same as God is in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear expects punishment. The person who is afraid has not been made perfect in love. We love because God first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. After all, those who don't love their brothers or sisters whom they have seen can hardly love God whom they have not seen. This commandment we have from him. Those who claim to love God ought to love their brother and sister also. So I believe, as we're on the same page in this series and teaching on Methodism, and what Methodists believe, we've talked about original sin, that we cannot help but to rebel against God. But then we have God's prevenient grace, the grace that woos us to him. It means that God comes after each of us. And we've talked about justifying grace where our status before God is changed. When we're reborn, God wants all of us to be saved. We also heard about God's sanctifying grace, God's desire to make us new. And we've noted the ways we grow in grace, like and the means of grace, such as communion, where we need to remember. It says this in our liturgy, remember, do this in remembrance of me. You've read that, you know Jesus said that, but there's more to it. To think and understand that Jesus is at the table when you come and receive communion, that Jesus is right there with you. That's a means of grace. That's why John Wesley took communion sometimes as many as 5 or 6 times a week, to be in the presence of Christ. So, and then we looked again at sanctification and Christian profession. Christians are saved in this world from sin and from all unrighteousness, that they are now such a sense as perfect, as not to commit sin, to be freed from evil thoughts and evil tempers. And that's a quote from John Wesley. Now, one of the dangers that happens as we start this teaching on holiness is that it can really lead to legalism, all right? Where we think that there's some way, if we follow all the rules, remember those 660 plus rules that the Pharisees had, all right? So Jesus kind of changed that a little bit, okay? And we'll get to that, because I don't think he made it easier. Okay, I just think he made it simpler to understand. But, you know, that where legalism come in and there's a way that we can work hard to achieve something, when we start to think like that, or there's a way to work our way to heaven, things don't turn out so well. So I must tell you that I grew up in Amish territory, not far from here, in between Elkhart, Goshen, and went to school in Napanee, and I had a lot of Amish friends. Now, as you know, the Amish have a lot of rules in place, and they've decided that the only way that they can receive God and get to heaven is not to be worldly, where something in Scripture may have been taken a little bit out of context, but that's their faith. They're good people, but each church has a different set of rules inside the Amish community. For instance, in this area, in Elkhart, Goshen, Shipshewan, and Napanee, in the different churches, there's a bishop in each church. Some of those families inside that church can have a bobcat. Makes their life pretty easy. In Wisconsin, it's not happening. Okay? No way. You're not getting any wheeled vehicles. You're not even getting a bicycle in some of these communities. So there's different rules, different things. Makes my head think. Now, why is it about legalism? Why is it about following these rules? We'll get to that. We'll see how God did everything for us. It's a free gift of grace, and we have to accept that gift, and there's nothing, nothing that we can do to earn that gift. So perfection or Christian holiness is really a teaching about a relationship with God. It's a perfect relationship and a perfect love that God gives to each of us. And, you know, I want to remind you a little bit about why what we're talking about is important to Methodists or to Methodists. It says in John 1, 4 and 18, it's a perfect love. This is from Wesley, but it's a perfect love. This is the essence of it, from Wesley said. Truly, this is as simple as it can be.
Although some of today's theologians have complicated, wait a minute, can you believe that, a theologian complicating something? Okay, all right, have complicated this simple truth. All right, Wesley, you know, could call back or go back to scriptures in the Old and the New Testament, and he finds the commandment that expresses the fullness in its answer to the question that Jesus has, or what Jesus tells us in Luke 10:27. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and in these words, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as yourself, and your neighbor as yourself. Some of that's from the King James Version. Even more, Wesley would go that far to suggest that this is the end of the commandment. All of the commandments in one, to love the Lord your God with all your mind, all your heart, all your soul, all your being, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Remember when I said Jesus didn't make it easier? He just made it simpler to understand. All right. Robert Coleman said, apart from entire sanctification, okay, and we'll get to the definition of entire sanctification, that there's no reason for the Methodist Church. I'm not sure I agree with that. But John Wesley believed that the whole reason God brought about the Methodist movement, remember it was a movement inside the church, not meant to be a denomination, okay, was the teaching and preaching of sanctification. Right, people will think that there are many other things that are the center of being a Methodist. But historically, this is why God raises us up. All right, and we, unfortunately, I believe we have quite possibly departed from some of this as a denomination. So we need to continue to turn to God in scriptures in all that we do. Right? What did Wesley mean? This is the question I said we get to. What did Wesley mean by Christian perfection or entire sanctification? The loving of God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul and strength, that implies that no wrong temper. Okay, my wife's sitting over here. Fail. All right? No, none contrary to love. Oops, I might have missed that one a time or two. Remains in the soul. So no wrong temper, no love, still working towards it, and that all thoughts, hear that, all thoughts, words, and actions are governed by pure love. That's from John Wesley. It was in his plain account of Christian perfection. Right? Of course, he didn't invent this. It comes again from Jesus in Mark 12:28-32, Matthew 22:34-40, and Luke 10:25-28. And Jesus was teaching the two commands that all the commandments hang on. And to do that, we are using, we'll see this scripture from Deuteronomy. But John Wesley was simply saying that Christian perfection meant doing what Jesus identified as the key to following God. Love God entirely and with everything that you are. And love your neighbor as yourself. We'll touch upon that, loving our neighbor, because as we've accepted Christ as our Savior, right? And I know most of you here have, if not all. Might there be something that you haven't forgiven yourself for? That's a tough thing to think about. Because if you haven't forgiven yourself, how then are you going to love your neighbor if you don't love yourself? If God forgave you, if Jesus forgave you, it's time to let that go. It's time to realize that God is in you and with you always. And to love your neighbor, you have to love yourself if you're going to love your neighbor as yourself. Important things to remember. Wesley said a Methodist, one who loves the Lord with all their heart and all their soul and all their mind and with all their strength, that, my friends, is the character of a Methodist, right? Towards the end of his life, he was reflecting on what they meant by perfection. And he wrote, it's a perfect love, 1 John 4:18. This is the essence of it. Its properties or indispensable fruits are rejoicing even more, praying without ceasing, and in everything giving thanks. That's the 1 Thessalonians passage I talk about. Again, he focuses on love and not willpower, not achievement, not working for salvation, but realizing that that comes as a gift of grace freely from God that we can only accept, and there is nothing we can do to earn. So what does the love of God look like? All right, it goes to 1 Thessalonians, rejoicing, praying without ceasing, giving thanks to all things. The key and central teaching of entire sanctification is defined by our loving God entirely and loving others. Okay, I get it. I really do. I get it. But how does this work in our lives? It sounds good, but it might not be that easy. All right, we'll look at John 1, 4, 7 through 21. We've read that. God is the cause and the source of this love. And it happens by abiding in him, living in him. We'll talk about abiding. The command in 1 John 4, love one another. Verses 7 and 21 sandwich that together. We have to love one another together. We have to love everybody as ourselves. We have to forgive ourselves if we're holding on to something. The cause of the command is when you know God, you then know perfect love. Since God loved us, we should then love each other. All right? Since God is love, and if we love each other, we know God is in us and God is love. God is the source of love. And the cause of the command to love, his love, again, is so primary. Truly, if you are filled with the love of God, there just is no room for sin. Okay? That's the key to this. If you're so filled with God's love, there is no room for sin in your heart. That's part of what Wesley was talking about. But for this to happen, we must stay connected to God. Now, we could go on and talk about that for probably hours, but I know you don't want to be here that long, all right? But staying connected to God, how do you do that? Do you do it in community? Do you do it in Bible study? Do you intentionally set a little bit of time aside every day? Or do you just wake up and say, hey, God, I'm here. What am I going to do next? What do you have for me? I'm willing to follow you. That's a willingness, but intentionally find time to set that aside time for God and be there, be present. You know, somebody I once know said that he used to drive a lot and he was always talking to God. That means you can talk to God in whatever you are doing, but find that time to be, just be with God. You know, the question we must ask is, what is love? All right, we know love because it has been revealed through God, sending his son so that we could live. And so his son could be the anointing sacrifice for our sins, to die upon the cross for our sins. Love from God gives life, involves sacrifice and our forgiveness. Love from our Creator is grace. Love from our Creator is grace. And it's through that grace that we learn what perfect love is. That we can be certain of our salvation. This is the model for our love. It looks like God sending Jesus. How do we love them if we realize that God came, sent his only, in the words of the Old Testament, or the words that we've heard so many times before, his only begotten son. God sent his son to live among us, to be with us, to show us how to live our lives. We read those, I remember somebody else talking about the red words, okay? I think all of Scripture is important, but when you read those red words, and a lot of times we see those red words and we realize that Jesus is usually teaching someone in Scripture when you're reading it right, yeah? He's teaching someone, teaching his disciples. Do you understand that he is teaching you each and every time you crack open that Bible and read those words? That's pretty special to know that the living word of God is being held in your hand. So the key is to abide in God, to live in God. Abide means to continue to live in, to dwell in. Getting your life from God and God living in you, dwelling in you, abiding in you. You've got to note that there's an intimate connection and relationship with God. That is a connection that is so special and so loving. And I know that you felt it and probably still feel it. God is truly always with you every moment of every day, especially when we don't think God's there. When we turn around and we realize that we went through a hardship and we thought that God abandoned us and we realize that God was there with us. God maybe even carried us, but God was with us. We know we are abiding in God because God gives us his Spirit. We testify that God sent Jesus as Savior for the world. Because of believing in Jesus, we know and feel the love that God has for us. If you abide and dwell and live in that love, you abide in God and God abides in you. So we get here, but what's next? There's got to be another step as we are learning about the sanctification. Love has been perfected in us by this so that we may have confidence on when? On judgment day. Why? Because he is, so we are in this world. Amazing that dwelling in God leads to this transformation, making us Christ-like. And we then have a boldness and a confidence and not fear. Fear doesn't come from God. There is no fear in love. Now, there may be fear and open yourself up to love, but there's no fear in love. Perfect love, absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, casts out fear. This is the assurance of salvation from God's perfect or perfecting love. The picture that John is painting here of God's love perfecting us so that we can live or abide in love, and doing this, we abide in God and God in us. And with that, we are transformed to be like Jesus. It only makes sense that we would love out of that. We don't do this in our own strength. No, we don't do it in our own strength, but instead by and through and because of God, because God first loved us and has shown us what God's love is. Dr. Ken Collins, in writing about Wesley and sanctification, describes it this way, that love reigns in the human heart so that our heart loves God and neighbor but excludes sin. In other words, it's like our hearts are so full of love that it leads to the love of neighbors. There is no room in our heart for sin or rebellion against God. And this matches what Wesley himself said, that it is giving God all of our heart. Wow. Have you ever given God all of your heart? That's a key question that you should be asking yourselves. Maybe even ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you where you may be holding back from God. And Christians, you know, as Christians, we do hold back from God at times. This, again, is the human condition, but God's love will break through that and woo us to Him. In my life, oh my life, I find that when I hold back part of my heart from God, it ends up poisoning the whole rest of the relationship or what I'm trying to do or where I'm at. Yeah, just when things are going great, I've gotten selfish and said, nope, not that, Lord. Come on, we've been there. I know we have. And those are the things that we have to identify, things that we may put before God. Nope, I'm not going to do that. It's not a good outcome. And I'm kind of thick-headed. Okay? I think Jerry said earlier, if I fall off the stage, you better check the floor for cracks. Oh, man, you guys don't laugh very good. Either my jokes are bad or you've all got like church mice in here. You know, it's not a good outcome. It really is not. And like I said, my head is thick. Guess what? God knows my head's thick. Don't hold back on God, because God never, never will hold back on you. Right? John Wesley became convinced that it was impossible. Did you hear the word half Christian in part of this series? Maybe, maybe not. I used it. It was in some of our notes. But it's impossible to be a half Christian. He knew God had more. And God did. The Holy Spirit came. The Methodists were filled with the love of God. And revival spread across the land. Oh, but I'm not so sure that we do not read a revival in the United Methodist Church yet here today. But I know this, God's not done yet. God's not done yet. And the love of God will shine through us and into us and out of us. I believe God has something very, very special for us. I must tell you again, pray intentionally for God to lead you and to open your eyes and your heart so that you're ready to follow God where He leads. So as we close today, gee, am I on time or can I talk for another 20 minutes? Oh, I'm doing okay. You're telling me I'm doing okay. So as we close today, I want to think and ask these kinds of questions. Are you trying to be a half a Christian? Not giving your whole person to God? Is there something holding you back? Is there something you may not have been aware of? Is there something that came to you today? If there is, it's time to give your whole heart to God, your whole being, all of who you are, because God has more for you. There's a place where your heart can be so full of love that there is room for nothing else but love. And I must tell you quite simply that God loves each of you. Amen. Amen. Where are we at?